The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl. I am your host, Rabrina Rettle, and I'm here to help you be the gospel-centered, compassionate, and influential voice in your girl's life. Today, my guest is Patria Rector. She is a certified professional life coach with The Broken and Beautiful. She offers coaching services locally in our community and online. Patria has a bachelor's degree in nursing from Union College. She's a certified prayer counselor, a certified life coach, and Patria also holds a completion of certificate in trauma-focused narrative therapy, levels 1 and 2, and completion of externship and trauma-focused narrative therapy from both of them from the Allender Center. Okay, let's start by talking about, there's so many things happening in our world today and increasingly. New year, however, still some of the same traumas. So I wanted to take a little bit of time today to kind of talk about that, how we as parents can help our children in this difficult yet faith-building time. So why don't we talk about what is trauma?
Well, the most basic definition of trauma, which is my own version of all of the definitions combined in my own mind, is that it's an event or an experience that defies our ability to make sense of it. But we have to further define trauma and into subcategories. There are what the psychology community calls big T traumas and little T traumas.
Okay.
And some examples of big T traumas are the events most commonly associated with post-traumatic stress disorder. So that includes serious injury, sexual violence, or life-threatening experiences, or threats of serious physical injury, or even witnessing big T trauma.
When you said secondary trauma, or is that secondary trauma when witnessing trauma?
It's not actually.
Oh, okay.
In this space, talking about just the basic definition of trauma. So if a child, since we're talking about children today, if a child witnesses a parent experiencing violence or a life-threatening situation, they are experiencing it personally. So we don't consider that secondary.
Gotcha.
Which I know we're going to define a little bit more in a minute.
Okay.
So there's big T traumas, and then there's little T traumas. And little T's are highly distressing events that affect us on a personal level, but they don't necessarily fall into the big T category. So those examples of little T trauma include non-life-threatening injuries, emotional abuse, even the death of a pet, bullying and harassment, and loss of significant relationships. Mm. And the reason that we delineate these in this way is because it helps us to understand our stories better. So stacks of little T's can actually be more harmful than one single big T event in a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to understand that right now, think about right now, the culture that we live in, the climate that we're in, we are having big T's, stacks of little T's all over the place. I mean, it's happening to everyone. So I just wanted to break that down into a little bit more clear of a discussion, because it's complex. It's a complex issue, and trauma can be complex as well.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting, because I had not thought about the little T's, the little T trauma. And that is true that continuously, if it's happening continuously, I can see how it could basically just snowball and be more significant or hurtful than a big T trauma.
Yes. It's a single episode of a big T trauma. Now, multiple big T traumas, that's another story. And many people experience that as well.
Okay, so what is secondary trauma?
So secondary trauma is also known as compassion fatigue or vicarious trauma. And it happens when we bear witness to the account of other traumas. And typically secondary trauma is talking in adulthood. So pastors, teachers, police officers, firefighters, social workers, doctors, people that are on the front lines hearing stories on a regular basis will actually have to be taking preventative measures for experiencing secondary trauma. So it's not something that's happened to you or that you've personally witnessed happening. It's that you're bearing the story of it. And over time, that can sort of create this callus over our heart, right? Or some sort of protective mechanism to keep us. And so little by little, we lose our compassion. Mm-hmm. Little by little, we lose our empathy and become cynical. Mm. And that's the output of secondary trauma.
In this day and age, and kids are seeing things on social media and the news, and a lot of tweens and teens are very active on social media accounts. And so there's a lot going on those accounts, a lot of opinions being tossed. There's a lot of video being shown. So how can I tell if my child is experiencing trauma?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I have good news, bad news. And I want to be really clear about this, that right now your child is experiencing trauma if they have any witness to the world. Mm. So unless you've got them locked up in the basement, which is also trauma of a different nature, they are experiencing trauma. But the good news is that that doesn't necessarily mean they're being traumatized. And that's where we can really step in and do something, like effectively do something relationally, mm-hmm. To impact whether or not the trauma that we're experiencing traumatizes and impacts their development as children.
Mm, I see. Okay. So then we are just to assume they are experiencing trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And so if they're experiencing trauma and I'm experiencing trauma, and say I am a traumatized person from things that have happened in my life, if I'm experiencing my own trauma, how can I help them?
So, you know, back in the days when we could fly on a regular basis and we listened to the flight attendant give the safety explanation before you take off. And one of the things that they say is if you're traveling with a small child and the oxygen mask drops down, what are we supposed to do, right? We put our own oxygen mask on first. And that's the image I want to take into that question, is we do have to have a level of self-awareness to understand when we are ourselves traumatized. When that's the case, we need to get help for that. And that's the putting on the oxygen. And that can be help through having a good friend that you can talk to and unload what you're feeling, and you can feel safe and heard. That sometimes is all we need. Sometimes we need a pastor that can help us with maybe the faith questions that we're having, or a spiritual director that can help us try to find out where Jesus is right now for us, because we can get really confused when we're traumatized. And sometimes it can be professional help that we need. So first, we have to put our own oxygen mask on, whatever that means for us. And we have to have some awareness. And sometimes that means asking the people that we live with or the people that know us the best, how are you experiencing me in this? Do you feel like I'm edgy? Do you feel like you see changes in my personality? How are you experiencing me if I'm not sure? And we all really need to be asking that question right now.
That is a really good question to ask, actually. I hadn't thought about saying it that way. How are you experiencing me? Because I can tell what I'm experiencing, but then I right. don't necessarily know how it's coming across to someone else. So if I'm experiencing trauma and I'm angry most of the time, or my sadness comes out as anger, yeah. then to ask a person how you're experiencing me, and if they say, well, you seem to be really angry, then that's a sign that I need to do something. because if my primary personality is anger, then that's telling me, my body's telling me something's not right. And then also, I didn't have this as a question, but I do want to ask, how does your body, because I understand that trauma is in the body. So how does your body experience trauma?
Good question. And I just want to make just a little note about anger too, since you know, that's the example that you give, that anger isn't bad by nature. If we're angry, if we're not angry right now, then we need to have somebody check our pulse before they check whether we're traumatized or not. We have things to be angry about, right? Mm-hmm. But when that's harming the people around me, that's when anger becomes a problem. So I just wanted to make that note about anger. But how does it get stored in our body is a big question that would take, I would recommend reading Bessel van der Kolk's book, The Body Keeps the Score, or there's multitudinous information on how it happens. But in a practical sense, I experience it as anything from fatigue to headaches to tension, you know, needing more massages or more chiropractic care to not wanting to get out of bed in the morning or ever during the day. You know, it can be GI issues. My legs can hurt. For men, there can be, for men and women that are adults that are married and in intimate relationships, there can be impact in our intimacy as well. So any of these, if there's any bodily issue that you're experiencing in the context that we're living, we have to ask the question, are we being traumatized by what we're experiencing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good to know. Because then we'd also, if our child is complaining consistently, also about illnesses, that's something to take into consideration, that they may be experiencing something emotional that is manifesting itself physically.
Absolutely. And to not be discouraged when we do all the medical tests and nothing's wrong. So like if my kid has a stomach ache every single day, and it's interfering with their schoolwork, and we take them to the doctor and the doctor says, everything's fine. To not be discouraged about that and just note that this is a traumatizing time, and even give our kids language for that. Like, yeah, your tummy's hurting a lot, but there's a lot going on. It makes sense that your tummy hurts a lot. And so normalizing it for them can help that to not become stuck in their bodies. Mm-hmm. And that's really what our goal is.
There's another thing we've been hearing a lot about, and it's the word resilience. And I have to say, I've heard people say that, yes, this is a troubling time, especially for the Gen Z generation, that they will be a generation of resilience, making it through this, kind of like the generation, World War II, greatest generation. Mm-hmm. They became a generation of resilience. So I want to talk about, what does it mean to be resilient?
Well, people have unique capacity to handle stress. And by unique, I don't mean special. I mean different between people. And it's referred to as resilience. So we think of resilience as the ability to bounce back from adversity. So research on resilience shows that it's tricky to understand. We don't have great full understanding on resilience yet, and it's been being studied for decades. But what remains pretty elusive to us is that some people are more resilient than others, and we don't really know why. So that's, again, there's some good news, bad news, but we need to understand these pieces of it before we can engage successfully in ways that we are able to. We know, though, that at least some of the components of resilience are how we're hardwired. So how we're designed. How did God create each one of us? Some of us by nature are more sensitive and impacted by trauma, right? That is just the way that it is. And some of us are less sensitive and different. It's a different style of person. Neither is good or bad, but it does impact how we experience trauma. How much or little support the person has, and then the really elusive piece, the interplay between those two things. So you can hear it's kind of like a formula for each person. And we know that kids need social and emotional skills. And part of our job as parents is to help them learn those things, right? So that's part of resilience, is to have those skills. So when we think about that, we're in a global pandemic. We are in a crisis of the church. At least that's the way I would define it. We are in a crisis politically. We're in a crisis racially. Like there's just very little space financially that's not in crisis right now. And we need to help them narrate that. That's the thing that we really can do, is say, this is what's happening, and don't say, this isn't what's happening.
Mm.
Right? That's mm-hmm. the biggest way that we can engage this and create resilience in whatever way we can. If you have a sensitive child, help them understand their sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a child that's not sensitive, help them understand that they are not naturally sensitive.
So for me, I think I have a buildup of resilience, yet both of my children are sensitive in nature. And so mm-hmm. you can't expect them to respond the same way you do or handle things the same way that you do because of their what's natural or their nature. And then also giving language to them so that they can, one, acknowledge the trauma, acknowledge the issue, and then talk to them about processing to help them become resilient or overcomers in this time.
Yeah. And I really am grateful that you brought in that piece of like, you're going to experience it one way, they're going to experience another way. And you might have sort of like a mismatch in the sense of you might be like, as a parent, I am a very sensitive mother. I'm a sensitive person by nature. I feel everything around me. And I have one child that's similar to that, and I have one that's not. So just recognizing that sort of, it's not mismatch in the sense of an accident, but it is a mismatch in the sense of communication sometimes. Mm. And also we have, you know, generally speaking, twice the life impact on our view as our kids do, you know, so, or more than that. So we have to understand that what we're bringing into the space, even if it's not into the conversation, are ideals and ideologies and impact and trauma that they don't have. That's not their story. Mm-hmm. It's our story.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So in light of all this, then how can we take care of each other in and outside of our household? How do we hold each other close in a time of such division?
I think that's a multi-pronged answer, don't you, Rabrina? I mean, I'm going to give some ideas and I'd love to hear your feedback on this. I think that we have to be honest that none of us has perfect answers. The questions being asked and the crisis that we're in is too big for any of us to answer or handle, especially singly. We need some collective answers. And in order to have that, we need to listen. We need to be able to listen and actually hear what the other person is saying, which is really hard when there's so much volatility. There's a word that I want to talk about called attunement. That just means I'm paying attention to you. And if I am in a hypervigilant, traumatized state, I really can't attune to you. And so we are really need to, part of taking care of the outside is taking care of the inside and tending to our own traumatized states so that we can hear one another and be grounded in the person that we genuinely are. Because if we're reacting, we're harming, even if what we're saying is true. Mm. And so we have to be thinking about that. So I just kind of made a little list to summarize that, like listen and don't speak unless someone asks a question. Mm. Some monks spend 6 years in silence. And that right there, I want to qualify that like people can't see us and they're just hearing our voice. I just want to be clear, if it's not obvious, that I am not a person of color. I'm a white woman who has all of the privilege of a white person. And so when I say listen and don't speak, I'm speaking to myself. That is my role right now, to listen and don't speak unless I'm being asked to speak. And be okay, like know that I can sit in silence and listen mm-hmm. to what's being said around me. Mm-hmm. Be mindful of my own reactivity and tend to that. Answer questions, but generally don't give advice unless someone asks for it. Be open and honest about what we're experiencing and how it feels if someone asks. This is a really, really important piece I didn't mention sort of in that summary in the beginning as we're talking about this question. Find ways to have fun that don't involve sarcasm, mockery, or sardonic, cynicism or sardonic comments. And then that last piece that we talked about a little bit, I would say, notice how we impact our children and other people and ask safe people. Don't ask unsafe people, but ask safe people that question. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that?
So I appreciate everything that you said in that summary. And I understand when you're saying that I am a person of color. I am a woman of color. I'm a Black woman. And what you're saying is, in this space, at this time, you are allowing yourself to hear about my experiences without trying to qualify or defend or dismiss, that you are just open to listening. And yes. That is something that's needed in this time, in this moment that we're in these United States. And also, I believe that that is something that is needed across the board for everyone. So for people who have fears, instead of mocking them, talk to them, let them talk about their fears so that you can understand what the fears may be. And for people who are just fine with the way everything's going, listen to them too, because it is as somewhat of a curiosity, what is it in your mind? What is the process in your mind of how things are going now in this time of crisis? And, some people say, well, I just depend on my faith, and that's great. We know that you need faith. God needs you to have faith. And also God needs you to have works. So you need both. So God wants you to co-labor with him in building his kingdom. And to me, that's the primary purpose. We are here for two reasons in my view and in my biblical knowledge. We're here to worship the one true God, and we are here to collaborate with him in building his kingdom and bringing others to Jesus. And so in light of that, to me, when you put those glasses on, then you will see things in a whole new way. You see your purpose and how to fulfill that purpose. And the same love, mercy, and grace that our Father has given to us, we are to bestow on other people. And that's how I see basically what you have said in those steps. Hmm. For us to be safe people and for us to be able to go to safe people.
Amen. That's a good summary. I would totally fully agree with that. And to have the awareness to know if I'm not being safe. Right. Because I can only make sure I'm safe. I cannot demand or command someone else to be safe for me. And that then gives me actually empowerment, because mm-hmm. that's what I have agency over, is myself. Mm-hmm. And so there's real power. There's real genuine power in that, the good kind.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I also think it's important to, when you said, are you safe? So if someone thinks that you're not a safe person, I would say be open to hearing that, because that is the humility that you're displaying. If you're open to hear why this person doesn't see you as a safe person. And no, we cannot accommodate everyone. We cannot please everyone. However, we can extend God's grace. And if there is a way that you are not extending God's grace, that is something that we should be cognizant of. And I personally, I want to be cognizant of it. I want someone to tell me that was not very gracious. And then I know where I need work. And I know this is a prayer that I need to be lifting to the Lord, that I want his grace. I want his eyes. I want to see people through his eyes. And so that is a way that I know, okay, I need to pray on this. And
yes,
when it comes to our children, same thing. I want to see my child through God's eyes. And I read somewhere that your child is your neighbor. So they're little neighbors, and love thy neighbor. And so even though we know we love them, sometimes we are not gracious to them or treating them in a loving way. And so we just want to be cognizant of that, especially in a time of division and just everything that's going on around us.
Yes. And I would just add, totally underscore everything you just said with a big amen, and add that it doesn't make us bad guys if we're jerks sometimes, right? That we have to be able to experience the movement of relationship that says, I failed. And how can I repair that rupture? And it's when we lose that, every relationship needs three basic things. That's attunement, which I already mentioned, containment, and repair. And that means when I don't attune and I don't contain, I circle back and seek repair, and sometimes or even restitution in the hope of restoration. That doesn't always happen. But if we can't circle back and listen and repair or offer sorrow, genuine heart sorrow, then we are traumatizing other people through the way that we speak and act.
I think that was all well put and well said, that one, this is a traumatizing time, and don't be surprised if you feel traumatized or your child is traumatized. Two, we want to be a safe space for our children and for others. And we want to provide our children with the language so that they can acknowledge and be able to process what's happening around them and the trauma that we're all exposed to. And that we want to do this in light of relationship with humility and grace. That's how we want to enter in and treat ourselves also. So you want to treat yourself with the same grace that, talk to yourself like your best friend would say to you, and not be so hard on yourself. Well, Patria, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to guide us on how to help our kids and us mamas too deal with the trauma happening around us during this challenging yet faith-building time. And Patria has a website, and it will be in the show notes. But Patria, why don't you go ahead and tell us your website?
Yeah, well, first, thank you so much for having me. It's just always an honor and privilege and joy to talk to you, Rubrina. The website is thebrokenandbeautiful.com. So you have to have the word the in front of it to find me. So thebrokenandbeautiful.com. And my phone number and how to schedule and all of that is on there, as well as just some more detailed information about what I offer.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you for those kind words. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I will put Patria's website in the show notes. I will also put the site for the Allender Center in there also. You can check that out. And also the book that was mentioned, The Body Keeps the Score. I will put that in there. If you can, support your local bookstore. But if you cannot get out, go ahead and order online. And also, you can check out a post I wrote for Holy Loved Ministries titled Faith and Healing Amid Turmoil. Once again, that's Holy Loved, Wholly, Loved Ministries. And also, I'll put a list of other podcasts to listen to on Life Audio, such as Your Daily Prayer. There's a particular one on what to pray when you're anxious. Also, Breathe, the Less Stress podcast, and Faith Over Fear. Now remember, God is for you and you are not alone. And with His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
Hi, I'm Beckett Cook, host of The Beckett Cook Show. I lived as a gay man in Hollywood for many, many years until I had a radical encounter with Jesus 13 years ago. Since then, I've gotten my master's degree in seminary and published a book called A Change of Affection. On my podcast, The Beckett Cook Show, I sit down with fascinating Christian scholars and thinkers to address the lies of the culture and bring the biblical truth to bear on those lies. To start listening now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for The Beckett Cook Show on your favorite podcasting platform.